Hey guys, welcome back to the Gold Standard Podcast. This is your favorite fitness motivator, Minsu, and I am always so excited to be here, and I hope you are excited to hear my voice again as well. Today, actually, I do have a very special story to tell you. Actually, I am on my desk and working on my ebook, The Gold Standard, which is a motivational book that I wanted to inspire you, not him or her, you, to get motivated to start something new or to get started something so you can feel energized and you feel great and stay active and be happy. So what I'm gonna tell you, this is my friend Tim. Tim is a very good friend of mine from college, and I admire all that he has accomplished in his life. Why I'm telling you this? Then you will find out. Actually, his story is in my book, but I also think that this is a very inspirational story, and I definitely have to share it with all of you guys out there. So I am telling you this story, and I hope you enjoy it, and I am sure that you will get motivated or inspired 100%. So I have here a speech that Tim gave to a local high school in North Carolina that Tim shared with me so that I could share his story with you. Tim is such an inspiration, like I said before, and his story affirms the importance and ability for fitness to change your life. Before we get into started, I just want to tell you how I met him. I met him back in college at UTA, and I was working at the campus recreation department as a group exercise instructor, and Tim was the athlete for wheelchair basketball. So he was playing for school, and we met at the gym. Obviously, he was working on his master's at the time, and I was working on my bachelor's. So, well, without further ado, let's get started his story. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come here and speak to you tonight. I consider it a privilege whenever I am asked to come do something like this. Every time I give back and share my experiences, it sheds a little bit of light on why I've been through what I've been through. My story will hopefully speak to you in some way. I think there are valuable lessons to be learned about hard work, overcoming obstacles, perseverance, believing in oneself, and attitude. I grew up in just down the road in Corinthians. My family lived in a beautiful house on Lake Norman. I had a dream childhood, spending most of my days swimming, water skiing, and fishing. My father was a great man. He was born and raised in Colonias and seemed to know everyone in the community by name. Everyone loved my father. Many have said that he just had a way with people. He treated everyone with great respect, and they gave him that same respect. We attended church every Sunday and sat down every day for a family meal together. Life was good. The first major tragedy in my life occurred 2 days after my 12th birthday. It was December 22nd, 3 days before Christmas, and I was riding home with my dad from a dance recital. My parents had talked me into taking shagging lessons, and we had just finished showcasing all of our talents to the parents at a recital. It was late, and I was exhausted. My dad was going to take me by McDonald's on the way home. I laid my head down and fell asleep in the passenger seat. The next thing I remember is waking up and staring straight up into the dark night sky. I can see the McDonald's sign. Millions served every day. I feel the cold asphalt under my back and the dry crust of blood on my face. I turn my head to the left and see the wreckage. The paramedics load my dad and me into the ambulance and rush us off to the hospital. I hear them working on my dad on the way. They are yelling, "Hold on, Sam!" They all know him well. Later at the hospital, I'm lying in my bed with my mom by my side. I ask her, "How's dad?" She can't answer. She can only shake her head. I did not want to believe it. My dad didn't survive the crash. Many of you may be thinking, what about me? Was I left paralyzed? Not this time. I survived with just a slight concussion. However, I was scared for a long time. My perfect childhood had been wrecked. I didn't understand why it had to happen. I kept asking myself, why? Why did this happen? What was I to do now? Many years later, I am now in school at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. I am a different person. It became too difficult for me to deal with the pain of dealing with dad's loss, and the confusion of learning to be a man without his guidance. I sought other means to deal with the pain and other ways to deal with the feeling of being uncomfortable in my own skin. I am now in the grips of drug and alcohol addiction. It has become easier to live without having to feel pain. I numbed it out. My addiction progressed quickly and brought me to my knees at the young age of 23. My mother, God bless her, did the best she could raising two boys on her own. I really put her through the wringer. I was no longer the boy she knew as a child growing up on that lake. I had recoiled from my family and society in general. I sought out sordid places and hung out with people who drank and used the way I did. It was one morning at about 7 a.m. when I had a moment of clarity. I was sitting on a couch at a friend's apartment. I was sitting there staring at my hands. They could stop shaking. I had been up all night using cocaine and drinking. I couldn't sleep. I remember very clearly sitting there and thinking to myself, look at what you have become. I thought about my dad, how well thought of he was in the community. Then I looked at myself and I hated what I saw. I was so ashamed. Something has to change, I told myself. I was struggling with two thoughts going through my mind. Part of me wanted to get help. The other part of me wanted to stay and do more drugs. That, my friends, is a horrible place to be. Soon after, my family had an intervention and I found myself living back at home and going to a treatment program. Fearful of what life would be like if I didn't sober up and just ashamed of the person I had become, I put 100% effort into working my program. There were people who had recovered before me that showed me the path. I took all of their suggestions. They told me that I would need to change everything about myself. Some of the principles I learned, including humility, honesty, acceptance, hope, courage, self-examination, willingness, integrity, love, service, and faith. Many refer to it as living in the solution. Lord knows, I lived in the problem for most of life. I now had to learn how to live in the solution. Things got better one day at a time. I remember waking up one day and looking in the mirror and being okay with the person staring back at me. Those feelings of guilt, shame, and remorse had gone. I thought about my dad and felt like he might actually be proud of me. One day, I was sitting at home watching TV when an old recording came on one of the local stations. It was a speech by Rabbi Harold Kushner, author of the book When Bad Things Happen to Good People. I'm not really sure why I sat there and listened to it, but I did. He summed up his book by saying that if you are asking the questions why, then you are asking the wrong questions. Instead, you must ask what you are going to do about it. I couldn't help but think about how they related to the principles I had learned about living in the solution. It also helped me to put away some of the questions I had about my dad. I needed to just focus on what God had planned for me next and have faith that He would take care of me. Little did I know how important this message would be to me in the near future. Not long after tragedy struck again, I had been sober for 2.5 years now and my life is back on track. My family and I are on good terms. I have a good job and am back in school again at UNC Charlotte. I have just spent a wonderful Christmas with my family in the mountains of Tennessee. I am driving back to North Carolina for work and I start to feel funny. I had been having episodes in the past where I felt like I was going to pass out. The doctors had run tests but found nothing. I start to pull off the road. I think that I am feeling better, so I pull back on the road and continue on. Next thing I remember, I wake up and I'm in an ambulance. They told me that I had been in an accident and that my spinal cord was damaged. I later find that I passed out at the wheel and went off an overpass and landed on a highway below. No other cars were involved. The impact crushed my vertebral and severed my spinal cord. I was told I would never walk again. Once again, I was left with the questions, why did this happen to me? As I lay there wondering what I was going to do, for some reason I thought about Robbie Kushner. Don't ask why, but what am I going to do about it? The next day I had some unexpected guests. Two guys in wheelchairs rolled into my hospital room. They introduced themselves as Chuck and Dave. Dave told me he was the director of the Adaptive Sports and Adventurous program there at the hospital. He began talking to me about his show Snow, tubing accident that left him paralyzed at age 19 and how he has learned to live life in a wheelchair. Dave is a pretty unique individual. He is one of the most decorated athletes in wheelchair sports. Dave has 9 Paralympic gold medals and 9 national championships in basketball with 6 MVP awards. I refer to him as the Jordan of the wheelchair basketball. Not only that, but he has excelled in nearly every adaptive sports he has tried. I was dumbfounded by all he had accomplished. He gave me hope for the future. After only 3 weeks of rehabilitation, the hospital released me and I moved home to begin adjusting to my new life in a wheelchair. I kept close to my friends in recovery and tried to focus on living in the solution. One day at a time, never asking why, but what am I going to do about it? I also kept in close contact with Dave, and it wasn't long before he had me strapped into a wheelchair ready to play some basketball. I had been active in all kinds of sports prior to my accident, playing basketball and golf on a regular basis. I will never forget the first time I strapped myself into a basketball chair. I was coasting across the floor, and I thought to myself, I got my legs back. It was just difficult to adjust to playing in a chair. I took basketball and my new life in a wheelchair one small success at a time. always keeping a close eye on my attitude, knowing I had to focus on the solution. My friends, church, and family played a hard role in helping through those times. They gave me constant encouragement along the way. One important lesson I think I learned about life after the accident was that life is short. I must live life to the fullest each day and every day. As I began to see more successes on the basketball court, I also began to see them in life. I enrolled again in college, and just a year and a half later, I graduated from UNC Charlotte with a degree in international studies. It amazed me how one success would breed more success. I got a good job working for Wachovia Bank in downtown Charlotte. I loved playing basketball so much that I would wake up every morning at 4:30 a.m. to go practice before work. Just 2 years working at the bank, I had moved up as far as possible in my department and I was considering going to grad school. I was now playing wheelchair basketball for the Charlotte Robin Bobcats. My coach told me about a college in Texas where I could go to school and play basketball for a college wheelchair basketball team. I flew to the University of Texas Arlington for a tryout and made the team. College basketball was very fast-paced, so I had to get myself into top shape to keep up. I trained so hard that halfway through my first season, I suffered a shoulder injury that required surgery. 6 months later, I fully recovered from shoulder surgery and I came back in the next season in the best shape of my life. That same summer, my coach in Texas suddenly passed away, so once again, I had to accept a painful loss. Coach Hayes was like a father to me. The next 2 years were tough as I trained hard in the trenches with my teammates and we played out each season, finishing in a medical third place out of the 8 universities with wheelchair basketball teams. I can't say I became a dominant basketball player in college, but I did dominate in my studies. I used the same hard work and dedication in the classroom that I used on the basketball court. I took on just about every leadership position through NME. I had a hard time saying no. I became president of the Graduate Student Senate, president of the Market Research Association, and even was given the opportunity to be one of two students at UTA to serve a prominent position at the UT system level. When the dust settled, I graduated with 2 master's degrees, became a first-team academic All-American, and became the first wheelchair athlete to win the Maverick Leadership at UTA, the top leadership award among all the athletes at UTA. Good job, team. I don't say this to brag, but to highlight the fact that success is infectious. Having success in one area will make you want to have success in another. Just apply the same hard work and dedication to all areas of your life and you will find success. After graduating, I moved back to North Carolina and now have a great job working just down the road in Davidson. I still have the same excitement about life and love trying new things. Other than basketball, a couple of sports I've enjoyed are adaptive golf, wheelchair softball, wheelchair track and field, swimming, powerlifting, para triathlon, hand cycling, and last year I even did a wheelchair bodybuilding competition. My newest adventure will be trying out adaptive CrossFit. I hope that you have picked up on a few lessons in my story. A good attitude, hard work, and perseverance will lead to success. Please keep in mind that we all have our own difficulties. Some are just more visible than others. We are all disabled in some form or fashion. Maybe you think you are too slow or too short or not strong enough. Maybe you just need to keep working hard. Just keep at it until you do become faster or stronger. Yes, I know you can't make yourself taller, but sometimes there are ways to adapt and maybe do it differently than anyone else has ever done it before. So, when you run into difficulties, you have to ask yourself, is it really that hard or am I just making excuses? I would like to end with a quote by Michael Jordan. Some of you may have heard this in a commercial. If you Google it, you can watch this video. It's titled, Maybe It's My Fault. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym. Maybe I made you think that every shot I took was a game winner, that my game was built on flesh and not fire. Maybe it's my fault that you didn't see that failure gave me strength, that my pain gave me motivation. Maybe I led you to believe that basketball was a God-given gift and not something I worked for every single day of my life. Maybe I destroyed the game, or maybe you are just making excuses. By Michael Jordan. If you had doubts about the ability of fitness to change your life, I would hope you have opened your mind. I hope you have looked at these stories and thought about what fitness can do for you. So, what do you think about this story? Well, I can imagine, well, when I heard his story, I was super, super fascinated about this. And of course, I'm not going to say anything because by just listening this story, I know all of you guys have different thoughts. So please just leave a comment below and let's just take some time and think about our life and let's appreciate what we have and let's just do what just Tim says, you know? And yeah, I'm just so emotional right now. Not like, it's hard to explain how I feel right now, but can you imagine like the person who has to go through all the difficulties and I'm sitting here who has everything and I'm like still wanting for more and suddenly I feel like so guilty of things that, you know, I shouldn't have like complain about anything, rather just focus on, you know, things I have and just keep moving forward and helping others. So, well, sorry, I'm just rambling now. I hope you enjoyed this story and I hope Tim's story truly inspired you and just let me know how it inspired you and I will see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening and I will see you in the next episode. Stay active and be happy. Bye.
Hello there, Joey here once more. Before you head off, just want to say a very big thank you for listening to The Gold Standard with Minsu Go. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or whatever medium you use yourself. We really appreciate it, and it does help get the word out. All right, cheers.